Well, good morning, church. Just before we get into this passage in Acts chapter 3, let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this time that we can come into your scriptures, Lord, that we can learn from your word, and we request for your help. As we go through this, we pray that you may open our hearts, our minds, that you would speak, Lord, and I ask you for your help as we go through this passage, that you would be glorified through this. We love you, Lord. We commit this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, just as we heard from Isaac introducing Book of Acts at Jared Church, they've started on the series and finished chapters 1 and 2, and we are up to chapter 3. And, in chapter 1, we see that Jesus Christ has risen, like he's ascended into heaven. And he's promised the disciples that he's going to send his Holy Spirit, and that through his Spirit that there would be witnesses of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in chapter 2, we see the powerful coming of his Holy Spirit. You know, Peter preaching the powerful gospel and thousands of people being saved. And now we get to Acts chapter 3 and Christ really continuing that work. And so, in Acts chapter 3, we are told this amazing story of this healing miracle that has taken place. So let's go through that story and really see what scriptures teach us about that and what we can apply to our lives through this passage as well. So in Acts chapter 3, as we've heard a few times, right, we are told the story of this lame beggar who gets healed. And in the story, Peter and John are on their way to the temple. And as they were on their way to the temple, there was this lame man who was lame from birth being carried to the temple. So that the main reason he was coming there was so that he could beg for money of all of those who were entering into the temple. In those days, right, if you were someone who was disabled, or you couldn't work, you didn't have the ability or the strength to work, then you could not earn any money to survive. And often the only thing that you had left to do was to beg for money from people. And as a result, it seems that this person, this lame man, would come to the entrance of the temple to beg. Now, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he begs for money. And in response, what we see is Peter and John looks straight at this lame man. And he asks him to look at them so that he has their full attention. And in Acts 3, verses 4 to 5, it says, Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. You know, at this point, if you looked at the perspective from this lame man, he's probably thinking, man, things are looking pretty good, you know? You see, usually people would have just walked right past him. They would have ignored him, not even looking at him. But now Peter and John are willing to stop and look at him and ask him to pay attention. And he would have thought, what do they have to give me? Well, when he pays attention, this is what Peter says in verse 6, "Silver or gold I do not have." Right? Hearing this, the lame man would have thought to himself, what? They don't really have anything to give me? Right? Silver and gold I do not have. What are they wasting my time for? What are they here for? I could spend this time talking to someone else, begging of someone else, right? But then it is at that point Peter continues and uses the word "but," right? Stating that there is something else to come. And so Peter goes on to say, "But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Praise God. You see, Peter takes him by the right hand, helps him up, and instantly this man's feet and ankles become strong. He jumps up to his feet. He begins to walk He begins to praise God and goes into the temple courts with them. And all the people who see him are filled with wonder and amazement at what had just happened. You see, this is an amazing story. It is a fantastic story about Jesus Christ working through his disciples to heal a man who had been lame from birth. This was the resurrected Jesus Christ continuing his kingdom work through his disciples, the same Jesus who was just recently crucified on the cross, the same Jesus that did many miracles, who healed many people. The same Jesus is no longer dead, but he is alive. Amen. So the question is that in today's world, do we sometimes doubt that Christ is continuing this work? Right? Sometimes we think it's only when we see these amazing, miraculous things happen that Christ is working. But the truth of the matter is that he is indeed working mightily amongst his people. He is gifting salvation to many people all over the world. He is healing people of their sin. He is healing people of their sickness. He is encouraging people. He is building people up through his church. And we see that happening. And an example of that is even Jared Church, which is a recent church plant. In the last couple of years, we've merged with them. And, you know, they're going out and spreading the gospel. The evangelism team that goes out, I believe they're going out today as well. And through all of that, Christ is still working mightily. You see, when Peter and John went to the lame man, they didn't have anything that the lame man would have found valuable. In other words, they had nothing of earthly material of value that they could give to this man. Instead, they offered the lame man something far more significant than silver or gold. Not only were they going to provide him with healing, but they were also revealing through whom this healing was being achieved and what the real gift was. And I believe in this section of scripture, the heart of the story really comes down right to these words. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. Praise God. You see, in the world, we value money, we value houses, our jobs, etc., right? They give us wealth. With it, we can buy ourselves a house where we can stay. We can feed our family. With it, we think we can become comfortable. And we think we can find happiness and fulfillment through that. We might even imagine that the best thing that the disciples gave this man was the healing itself. It was a magnificent healing, no doubt. And the lame man was so joyous at this healing that he could now walk and jump, and as a result he praised God. But even above all of that healing itself, Christ was now being revealed to him. And you see, the same can apply to you and me as well. You know, even if we don't have much wealth, or even if we don't have much status or popularity, you still have something to offer people. And something that they need more than anything else, and that is Jesus Christ. You see, while this event becomes the launch pad for Peter's speech to the religious leaders, it's important for us not to skip the fact that a miracle has taken place here, which is why it'll be good for us to spend some time looking at what we can learn from this miracle. Because miracles gives us hope that sin, disease, and suffering isn't how things are always going to be. So to do so, I'm going to look at four different points today. And the first point I'll be looking at is the name of Jesus. Secondly, I'll look at the point where we were all once lame. Thirdly, Christ raised us up. And finally, the fourth point is to go and tell. So to begin with, the name of Jesus, right? What's in a name? More specifically, what's in the name of Jesus? You know, even as we sang the song, the last song here, it's all about the name of Jesus Christ, yeah? And I'm sure that you would have asked this question yourself, because I know I definitely have asked this question myself. Because we are commanded to, do many things in the name of Jesus. But what does that really mean? Does it mean that there is some sort of mystical power in the name of Jesus or when it is spoken? For example, scriptures tell us when we pray, we are supposed to pray in the name of Jesus. At other times, when we present the gospel to someone, we tell them, you know, believe on the name of Jesus and you will be saved. When we praise in the name of Jesus. We are to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So is it like a magic word we can use to initiate some sort of power when we say his name? No, not at all. In fact, there is an example later on in the book of Acts where a Jewish priest named Sceva and his seven sons in Acts 19 tried to use the name of Jesus in this manner. Because he saw the Apostle Paul cast out demons in the name of Jesus, they too began to invoke the name of Jesus to drive out evil spirits. And they used this because they used this as a formula for personal gain. And as they did that, what really happened was the evil spirit said, "We know Jesus, we recognize Paul, but who are you?" Then the evil spirit leapt on them instead, overpowering the sons of Sceva, and they fled naked and wounded. You see, as a result, that passage goes on to tell us that fear fell upon the people, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. And also, many people who practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them all. And was, you know, of a large value what they burnt. What that means is the name of the Lord is to be honored, is to be revered. So what the name of Jesus is not, is that it is not a magical word or a formula to gain something selfish out of it. In fact, if we look at the time Jesus was alive, right? Jesus was quite a common name in the first century for a Jewish male. And it was the most common Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua or Jehoshua, which means the Lord saves or the Lord is my help. Instead, the power in Jesus' name really rests in the person behind the names. You see, names were more than just identifying a person. They reveal something about their work, something about their achievements and status, some for good and others for evil. For example, even today, when you hear names, it tells you something about what they've done, right? For example, if I said the name Elon Musk today, what would come to your mind straight away? Well, for me, either Tesla, SpaceX, or the guy who changed Twitter to X, right? You'd probably think of those things. How about Dwayne Johnson? If you guys like movies or WWE wrestling, you will think The Rock straight away, his ring name, right? Or whatever else movie he would have acted in, that's what you would think of. Another one is Robert Downey Jr. If you thought of his name, what would you think? If you're movie fans or Marvel fans, you would, I think it's Marvel, not sure. But anyway, you would think of him as Iron Man, right? Well, another name is Adolf Hitler. Well, that is a change of tone right there. When you think of that, you think of all of the mass atrocities committed during World War II and his role in the Holocaust as well. But let's think, what about the name of Jesus? When you hear his name, what do you think? And what does the Bible want you to think of when you hear the name of Jesus? What does the Bible want you to experience and feel and know? Well, one thing is salvation. Salvation means he saves you from eternity in hell, from the sins that you deserve, and instead you get to hang out with Jesus forever. Another word that comes to your mind when you hear the name of Jesus is redemption. Redemption means the God who judges you sets you free from all slavery to your sin and to your addictions because Jesus paid the price of your freedom through being treated like a criminal where we should have been treated like that. Another word that comes to us when we hear his name and what the Bible wants us to know is healing, right? And healing is on point here because this man was healed. And there's healing for you too in the name of Jesus. And you know, the truth is that while you may not be healed of your condition or illness on this side of heaven, like this man in Acts chapter 3, you will be healed at the coming resurrection. So thanks to Jesus and the power of his name, it's not a case of if, but when, which means hang in there. You know, there is coming a time when all things will be set straight through Christ ruling. Finally, resurrection. If you want to rise from the dead, church, there is only one way, and that is through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, you know, these are the things that you should know and experience and feel whenever you hear his name. In fact, scriptures teach us that his name is above every other name. In Philippians 2, 8-11, we are told that God exalted the name of Jesus above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you see, when Peter told the lame man, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, what they were really saying is in the authority of, in the power of, in the person of the resurrected Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. You see, without this Jesus, they would have no power or authority to give the man a healing as a miracle. Without Jesus, there would be no hope. Without Jesus, there is no future. And the truth is, just like this unnamed lame man, all of us need help at all times. So this brings me to my second point, that we were all once lame. You know, in Acts chapter 3, verses 4-5, we read, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. You know, at one point, we were all outside of the temple. We were separated from God, or in other words, we were separated from God because we were maimed by sin. We were born in our sin. And we were dead in our sin. We didn't pay attention to the Creator of all things. Instead, we were quite content to enjoy and find satisfaction in our sin. But it was only because of the grace of God and his love poured through Jesus, who made a way, who came by us, and by his Spirit enabled us to look at him and pay attention to Christ, that we receive something far more significant than silver or gold. Amen. You see, the focus of the layman while he sat up there, while he was begging, was just to get through the day. You know, he wanted to receive money to support himself. And the truth of the matter is that sometimes our focus can also be the same if we are to examine ourselves. You know, sometimes we can come to God's temple, or we can come to Christ to fulfill our personal needs. We may not really seek his person, but seek what he has to give us, what can be gained through him. That is because sometimes our focus can be very material and worldly rather than setting our eyes on the person of Christ, who is the real price. You know, sometimes we take our focus off Christ and we want more of what the world has to offer us when we already have the best thing that we could ever have. Are we joyful in the fact that we have Christ, no matter what the situation is around us? Are we content in Christ when things are not easy and we do not have the silver or gold that this world has to offer us? Yes, Christ can heal. He can restore. He can renew and meet our every need. He can perform all things according to the counsel of His will. Should we pray for healing and for God to meet our daily needs? Yes, we must. And we must have faith in Christ to be our provider. So the question is, what are your needs today? What are you going through in your life right now? It may be health related, and you may need healing. It may be addictions in your life that you want to be released from. It may be issues in relationships. It could be a job or anything. Whatever it may be, bring it all to the throne of grace and to the one with all power and all authority to provide for your need. To the one, bring every need to the one whose name is above every name, and He will answer according to His will and His purpose. But you see, the problem becomes when we want all of that above the person of Christ, and when we do not find fulfillment in Him, then we become spiritually lame, metaphorically. We want less than what we already have. Our treasure no longer becomes Christ Jesus of Nazareth. Instead, it is something else that eventually becomes our idol. You see, there is this story, right, of this American businessman, which I think sort of really helps us understand this point. And so this American businessman, he's gone to Mexico, and he's just there along the seaside, and he watches this young Mexican fisherman docked, who's just docked his small boat with several large yellowfin tuna in his boat, right? And so this businessman compliments the fisherman and has a chat to him and says, "How long did it take you to catch these fish?" And so the fisherman replies and says, "Oh, it just took me a few hours to get these fish." So the businessman asks him, "Why didn't you stay out there longer and catch more fish then?" Well, he replies, "I've got enough to feed my family. I've got all I need for my family. That's what I need." So the businessman asks, "What do you do for the rest of the time?" Well, smiling, he says, the fisherman says, "I sleep late, I play with my children, I watch ball games, I take siestas with my wife, in the evenings I visit friends, play the guitar, and I sing." Well, this businessman was very eager to advise this fisherman, right? He says, "You know what? I have an MBA from Harvard, and I can give you some really good advice, right? If you fish longer, you can sell more fish. What that means is that you can buy a bigger boat. Then you can buy more boats, and eventually you can own a whole fleet of boats. And then what can you do? You can cut out the middleman, right? You can open up your own cannery. You can control the entire process. You could even move to Mexico City or even the US and become very, very rich." The fisherman thought, "This sounds pretty good." He says, "How long will this take?" "About 15 to 20 years, he calculated. "And then what?" asked the fisherman. Well, the businessman replied, and he said, "Then what you could do is you can retire. You can move to a quaint coastal village. You can sleep late, play with your grandchildren, watch ball games, take siestas with your wife, and enjoy the evenings with your friends," he said. Well, this fisherman thought for a little bit, and he said, But isn't that what I'm doing already, right now? You know, it's a funny story, but like this businessman, sometimes we fail to see the value in what we already have, namely Christ Jesus, right? The businessman's aim was the silver and the gold, and to achieve fulfillment through those things. Meanwhile, this poor fisherman valued what he had and was fulfilled in it, and everything else was secondary. You know, sometimes we have all that we need in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Yet we want more of the material things of the world, of what can offer us, and to try find satisfaction through that. You know, Christ provides our daily needs. Let us enjoy him in the time that we have, rather than in all of these other things. You know, it doesn't mean that we don't need to work hard or achieve for higher things, you know, and to do all of that. It doesn't mean that. But it becomes a problem when we find joy and fulfillment in them rather than in Christ. So may our attention be not be on the silver or gold of this world, but rather on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this takes me to my third point. Christ raised us up. In Acts 3, 6 to 7, Peter, again, he says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, helped him up, and instantly this man's feet and ankles became strong. You see, through the authority and the power of Jesus, Peter was able to bring healing to this man. And immediately his ankles and his feet were made strong. You know, likewise, while we were bound in our sin and we had no way of getting up and out of it on our own, Jesus Christ breathed new life into us through the work of his Holy Spirit. He lifted us up out of the kingdom of darkness and he brought us into the kingdom of light. Not only that, but we are adopted as children into his house. We became children of Father God. Not only did he heal us of our sin, but we are a member of his household. How awesome is that? You know, all of this is far greater than just the healing, just the eternal life and forgiveness itself, because it now means we become family with God. You know, and in verse 8, as we read, this man, this lame man, jumped up and he began to walk. He went into the temple courts with them, walking and jumping and praising God. So you see, the truth is now we can all approach God with freedom and confidence. The sin that separated us from God has now been removed. You know, in the Old Testament, those who were in the lineage of the Levites who were to be priests, but if they were lame or blind, that they could never enter into the temple for the offering. It tells us in Leviticus 21, 18. Likewise, you know, we couldn't enter God's presence with sin in our lives. But now, through the healing of Christ for our sins, we can enter into his presence. And we are, in fact, further made a royal priesthood, it tells us in 1 Peter 2:9. So you see, we ought to love him beyond anything else because of the extraordinary grace that he has poured out onto each of us. We ought to shout with joy, walking and leaping and praising God for his goodness, for giving us eternal life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so that takes us to the fourth point, which is to go and tell. You know, in verses 9 to 10 in Acts 3, when all of the people saw what had happened, saw him walking and praising God, it says they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You see, the people were filled with wonder when the lame man praised God for what he had done. And this opens up a big door of opportunity for Peter to preach the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. And in fact, that's what we see happen later on in Acts chapter 3. And likewise, we are to use a changed and a transformed life to proclaim this good news of Jesus Christ to all around us. Whenever we get an opportunity, may we shout it out that it is Jesus who changed my life. That our whole sinful life changes. That our passions change. Our desires change. And our heart is transformed. And people all around us will see the change in our lives. You know, and when they do so, we can also declare that once I was a sinner, once I was addicted to the things of this world, once I was under the temptations and the lusts of this world, once I was after the silver and the gold of this world, once I searched out meaning and love in all of the wrong places, but I was left unsatisfied. Then Jesus came by me. He lifted me up from my sorrow, healed me of my sin, and helped me to live for him daily. Even when I fail, his grace keeps me in him. When I feel discouraged, he lifts me up with his word. My eyes are set on him alone, and now I have peace. You see, how can we not share this amazing news of Christ saving and renewing us? And so I encourage you to share your faith to bring healing into someone else's life. You see, just like the lame man who sat at the temple entrance waiting for money, just like Peter and John who took this message of the gospel wherever they went, we too, as disciples of Christ, are to take this message wherever we go. Like the man in the story, are they noticing that while we are the same man, we are no longer the same? Something has happened. Something has changed. And you know, we have been brought into the kingdom of light. And it would be crazy for us to cover that light and hide that light, right? So we've got to let that light shine through giving this gospel message to all those around us. So as we come to a close on this passage, you know, if you are here today, the truth is that there is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, Jesus still heals today. We can still approach him by faith. He is still our provider. He is still our healer. He is still our restorer. Seek him for all of your needs and for his will to be done in your life. But above all of that, may our focus be on the person of Jesus Christ. And even if we lose the whole world, yet can we say, I have Christ my Savior. And may that be our cry. Well, if you are here this morning, and if you do not believe in the name of Jesus, now is your chance. Call upon his name, and he will save you from your sin. He will take you from that place outside the temple where you are still dead in your sin, and he can gift you salvation, cleansing you from all of your sin, making you a part of his family, giving you new desires and a new life with which you can be reconciled to God and able to enter his presence with all freedom. If you are a believer, have faith in the name of Jesus that you can talk to him and bring every need before your Father in heaven, who will hear your prayer, who will provide for you and deliver you according to his will. So as we close, may this Jesus of Nazareth be your ultimate love and treasure, so that you can truly say that rather than silver or gold, and even if I lose the whole world, if I have Christ, then that is all I need. Amen? Amen. So let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this time, Lord, that we could go through your word. Lord, just so amazing how you are alive today, Lord. You are still working among your people. You are working through your church by the power of your spirit. And we are so thankful, Lord God, that we are not only rescued from sin, You lifted us up from that place where we were in our sins. You cleansed us, washed us clean. You brought us into your presence, O Father, that we can enter so confidently. And not only that, we have become part of the family of God. And so we are so thankful. We love you, Father, for all that you have done. And this morning we also pray and thank you that this passage is a reminder that you are a God who still heals, that we can come to you. We can bring all of our requests before you. You are the one who is with us, who helps us, who leads us. And so we pray for each one of us here, Lord, that as you see every need, that, Lord, as we come before you by faith, that you would hear our prayers, O God, and that your will be done in each of our lives. So we love you, Lord, and we commit this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.